We're talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections. Who will win? Who will not?
One question about the 2026 races is already answered.
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3. Campaign 2026.
This is where the fun begins.
Every step, every day.
If you're talking about it, we're talking about it.
On News Radio 92.3. Informative. Informative. Local. Dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Entertainment world this morning is remembering a talent who was more than meets the eye. Legendary voice actor Peter Cullen died Wednesday at age 85, according to his agent. He was best known as the original voice of Optimus Prime in Transformers, later reprising the role in 7 feature films. Cullen's iconic vocals brought dozens of other characters to life across his 50-plus year career, including Eeyore in multiple Winnie the Pooh movies.
Yeah, Peter Cullen was the voice of Eeyore in everything, which, you know, you may remember some Eeyore.
It's not much of a tale, but I'm sort of attached to it.
And I, you know, it's funny, working in radio, you listen to voices a little bit differently, and, you know, I'm thinking to myself, I don't know, I think Steve Taylor could have done a pretty good Eeyore voice. He's got that deep rumble that's like 3 octaves below normal human speaking.
You know, I may have just the thing.
Up, up, up you go.
There you are.
It's an awful nice tale, Kanga. Much nicer than the rest of me.
So, you know, Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, both in the movie and in some of the other things. But also, as you heard him say, Optimus Prime. Now, you've heard the voice a little bit as Eeyore. Did you know that it was the same person doing Optimus Prime?
I don't know who you are, but you saved our lives.
We're Autobots. We're from Cybertron.
See?
A planet far from Earth.
Another planet? That's awesome.
Those who tried to harm you are called Decepticons. We must stop them before they destroy your world.
Optimus Prime is Eeyore? Did you know that, PJ?
I did.
Okay, well done.
I'm a big Peter Cullen fan.
Oh, okay. And there was one other. There may be, I mean, you know, he's got lots and lots of credits. But one of the other ones that kind of was a little bit of an obscure grab, but in the TV show Knight Rider, mm-hmm. No, he was not Kit. Totally different voice from Kit. But do you remember the one episode with Carr? Carr was the, like, anti-Kit.
The
anti-version of Superman or Batman or anything, you know, like the evil version of it.
May I present our preliminary target? Let us begin. I've established our point of impact. The bridge is old and weak.
Well, what does he mean?
It means we're going to crash into it if I know him.
I suggest you fasten your seatbelts. It shouldn't be long.
So he did work. He was Hagar the Horrible. He was did some stuff in the Smurfs, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. When you're a voice actor, you do lots of different stuff, and he did lots of different stuff. You said you're a fan. Did you have other roles that you think of as being, like, important or key, or that make you, you know, you think of for him?
Well, I mean, he did Optimus Prime, but he also did Ironside, too, or Ironhide.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess he was in G.I. Joe. I mean, I'm just kind of looking over some of it. He did one episode where he was the narrator of Sesame Street, uncredited. You know, like, this, you know, it's fascinating how people can be a part of your life and you don't even know it. Because I think a lot of people don't know voice actors. Some do. Obviously, PJ does as well. But anyway, you know, one person who, anybody who grew up watching Transformers or Winnie the Pooh.
It says here that he also created the distinct clicking and roaring vocals for the alien in Predator.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. All right. Which is, you know, that, you know what? I might actually have that. Let me work really fast and see if I can find the Predator sounds, because I know I think I have that in my stuff here. Come on now, where is it? just had it. Oh, I can't find it fast enough. Sorry. I won't waste your time. No, I wish I could play it for you because it is so distinctive, but the stuff that I have. Oh, no, wait. Here, I knew I had it. All right, hang on just a second. Here we go. That kind of clicking, that you say he invented that or he designed that?
Yes, he did.
Interesting. 614 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you have a home you're trying to sell or have a home you're trying to buy, or sometimes you do both, right? You leave one and go to another one. Buying your first home, you know, downsizing, getting a condo, moving to the beach, moving to the country, whatever the case may be. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, they sell a lot of homes. And the reason I talk about that so much, I mean, I could talk about her personality. It's fabulous. I could talk about her compassion, sense of humor, her knowledge and devotion to excellence, and all those things are true. But they show up in the number, which is how many homes she sold last year. 206 for a week. It's actually in the last 12 months, it's now up to 270. So, which that number is constantly changing as 12 months ages around. But, you know, the calendar year was 206 for a week. Almost 5.5 a week now. 5.5 a week is crazy over the last 12 months since they started doing this tracking. And all that means for you, what you want to know is that they get the job done. They will sell the house. They will help you buy the house. They will get a good price. They will get you all the way through to closing. You know, and it's almost a little bit unfair because they're good at it. And so they get results. And then the results teach them what they're good at. And they do more of that. And they get the results. You see how it's working. So Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty, 786-3996. Coming up next, we have the Transgressors Memorial Service, where Brother Andrew may be talking about the Log Cabin Republicans this week. Find out what he has to say about them. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash tunnel road at Quintet Road in Milton. Roadblock associated with that. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Hi, I'm Chris Roney, owner of Ace Unlocks. I started Ace Unlocks in Pensacola almost 30 years ago with a straightforward idea. To be the locksmith you'd want to call in a crisis. We'll always answer your call. Quote, honest, upfront prices and do the job right. For locks and security rekeying at home or business to new key fobs, Ace Unlocks does it all. Licensed, bonded, insured. Available 24/7, 365. Ace Unlocks. Find out more, Google Ace Unlocks or visit aceunlocks.com.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at George Stone Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from George Stone Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This isn't shouting.
It's conversation.
Hugh Hewitt, weekdays at 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the Log Cabin Republicans for their complete abandonment of the fundamental unity of our movement and rejection of the holy acronym string. President Ross Heminger explained in a column that after having approved the inclusion of transgender T in their agenda in 2015. The pro-gay but conservative organization has now dropped the T and will focus only on what they blasphemously call LGB issues. He claims the hard-won political and cultural momentum that earned in the last few decades for rainbow people everywhere is being lost because of too much focus on transgender rights for children. He says this is because Americans are not comfortable with gender-affirming care for minors, transgender athletes in girls' sports, and what he calls the teaching of radical gender ideology in schools. He says log cabins' work on marriage, adoption, military service, and non-discrimination means they need to refocus on their core values of equal protection, limited government, and individual freedom. Where to begin? First, it is most definitely not up to any individual or organization to decide for itself which letters to include in our identity politics. How dare they pretend they have the power to exclude the T's? Only the International Hexilateral Standing Conclave on Preservation and Expansion of the Holy Acronym String, Third Formulation, has the plenipotentiary power to amend the sacred letters. And in this case, the conclave has adamantly declared that low T people are still T people indeed. But all this really does is prove what we've always known. The log cabin Republicans were not really allies in our cause anyhow. For them to claim that LGB issues can be supported separately from the full range of the woke agenda is fundamentally wrong. So it comes as no surprise that a group who has abandoned the core goals of larger government, groupthink, communal decision-making, climate alarmism, gender anarchy, and hatred of guns, police, and the military would commit heresies around marginalized sexual identities as well. They went out from among us because they were never of us. And nothing proves that more than the refusal to use the correct and approved terminology when talking about our issue of concern. Heminger has the audacity to refer to gender-affirming care for minors as gender reassignment treatments, implying that genital reimagination surgeries are a change of gender rather than the fulfillment of it. He refers to transgender women as biological men, a hateful term from the right that stings with its reminder of the painful fact that trans women's bodies are mislabeled at the genetic level. Carrying a very hurtful XY chromosome stamp, branding them as men when their XX hearts know the real truth. Of course, that's a metaphorical heart since the actual hearts still say XY in every cell. So let us reaffirm our commitment to the full range of MMIWG2S LGBTQQIA+ people. We include everyone because our diversity is our unity. Long may the holy acronym string live and grow, never to wither and reduce. And remember, all the letters are equal, even though some are more equal than others. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Target stores for temporarily selling a children's Halloween costume that was obviously an all-too-painful example of blackface and minstrel show imagery. The outfit, titled Kids Glow Under Blacklight Circus Clown Halloween Costume, featured an absurdly jester-like orange and black fabric pattern of diamonds and jagged stripes, which on its own might not have raised our highly oversensitive eyebrows. But the absurdly tiny bowler hat and giant toothy grinning face mask with overly plump lips was the final straw for this white supremacy couture costume, especially since the model used for the picture in the listing was a little black boy. Now look, although Target has made a few blunders in recent memory, mostly by backing off of a full commitment to the DEI gospel of the Church of Eternal Wokeness, they still have been one of our most faithful corporate partners, essentially being the first church of consumerism for liberal white women everywhere. They even offer VIP privileges for anyone named Karen, free of charge. So the fact that they marketed this horrid costume was bad, but the nearly immediate reversal, removal, and apology was very repentant. Their press release stated, as a company, we know we got this wrong, and we are deeply sorry. You see, the proof that a person or an organization has submitted to the dominion of our wise and loving thought control is not that they always get it right, but that they're so scared that when they do get it wrong, they immediately correct the mistake. The rest of the apology is the proof they've been completely cowed into submission, writing, "The costume is offensive and should never have been part of our assortment. It is no longer available for sale. We know this is especially hurtful for our black guests, team members, and partners. Removing the costume is an important first step, and the company is looking closely at how this happened and what needs to change to ensure this won't happen again." See, the only thing more that Target could have done would be to start a philanthropic fund for the education of misguided white people, or men. But now that this is behind us, we have some suggestions for other areas of improvement Target might want to consider to bolster their affirmation as the retailer of choice for female wokelings everywhere. Naturally, they should start by changing their name and logo, since target and the bullseye are evocative of the use of ranged weaponry like crossbows and firearms, which, even if they aren't specifically triggering to someone, apologies for use of trigger, they still affirm the culture of gun violence we abhor. Some easy ideas might preserve the red and white color scheme, then could include, say, calling it Friendship Store, the store with a heart logo, Candy with a striped cane, or perhaps Love with a red and white rose. Although we do stand with our friends at the People for the Ethical Treatment of Foliage, PETFA, in their concern that roses should not be slaughtered merely for human romantic entertainment. And if Target really wanted to be bold, they could pivot entirely and go with the name Inclusion Store and switch to rainbow iconography. Although it's good that Target encourages its employees to display their preferred pronouns on their name tags, it would be even better if every customer entering the store could be asked to wear, say, a sticker, one that displays either their own pronouns or else states their affirmation of the importance of pronoun liberation in general. On a more structural level, Target could easily do something impressive and embrace income-based dynamic pricing, an adaptive retail justice system that charges lower-income earners a substantially reduced price and higher-income earners an inflated price. This would facilitate the instantaneous redistribution of wealth and give the overcharged the joy of knowing they are subsidizing their fellow comrade consumers right there and then. If these seem too large, Target could start small by making a decisive effort to decolonize the stationery department, by deprivileging white paper and replacing it with brown and black paper instead. Standard white paper is most certainly the parchment of the patriarchy. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who
offend! Finally, this week's Saul Alinsky Award for Misdirection in the Pursuit of Cultural Revolution goes to our dear friends at the Washington Post, who tried valiantly to make sociological hay out of the passing of country music icon Dolly Parton. As you well know, Dolly herself for decades refused to engage in politics or even declare her own, claiming she was just an entertainer. But that deliberate and frustrating neutrality did not hinder the Post's clever propagandists from finding a way to capitalize on the national attention to her life and passing. In a column titled, Why It Matters That Dolly Parton Wasn't a Mother, the editorial board said that Dolly Parton's lack of children demonstrated that the world could in fact love a woman who wasn't a mother. But more importantly, she was proof that a person could be an advocate for children while personally choosing against parenting. Oh, dear Otherin, this is such a delightful fabrication that we are just flush with the afterglow of a good doublespeak. As Longenheimer's fourth postulate on cultural manipulation teaches us, never let a major cultural moment go to waste. Use everything to your advantage, even if you must lie. After all, lying is often the best way to tell the truth. Of course, many of you know that Dolly did not choose against parenting at all, sadly, but was in fact infertile after having a hysterectomy due to endometriosis discovered after she and her longtime husband had tried repeatedly to conceive, but failed. So far from deliberately avoiding motherhood, Dolly had tried very actively to get pregnant and could not. But why would the Washington Post ever let a fact get in the way of publishing a wondrous lie? As you all know, 15th wave feminism has finally settled on the view that becoming a mother is the least important expression of womanhood, even though it is truly the one thing that men simply can't do. Therefore, normalizing the anti-reproductive paradigm has been a key element of our dogma for decades, sanctified through our practice of the five holy sexual sacraments of premarital sex, contraception, abortion, tubal ligation, and vasectomy. These tools are the weapons we use to undermine the traditional Christian worldview of monogamy for the purpose of being fruitful and multiplying. So well done, Washington Post. Even though you got scorched online for the framing of a story that so completely abandons any pretense of being factual, you stood strong for our movement and our goals. You have advanced the cause of unbreeding everywhere. Little did anyone know that passing of the Queen of Country was an event pregnant with such a massive lie. But you found it, you ran with it, and you published it without batting one little fake eyelash of a conscience. St. Orwell himself would be very proud of you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
628 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic for us.
There is a vehicle crash in Roblox Tunnel Road at Quintet Road in Milton. Use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash I-10 eastbound right at mile marker 39 near Milton. Use caution there as well. I'm PJ through traffic on the 5.
I was particularly proud of Parchment of the Patriarchy, personally. Steve is in for, by the way, Steve, you've been doing a great job filling in for David Wayne all this week. I appreciate the good work with those beautiful, deep, long-lasting news pipes of yours, by the way.
Well, what are you talking about? I really talk like this.
You should do the rest of the day's news like that.
Oh, yeah. State Department says 90 Americans.
I don't think
so. All right, fair enough.
Well, the State Department is saying 90 Americans are still missing after flash flooding in Nepal. A U.S. official confirmed 3 American citizens were safely rescued, and there are no reports of American deaths so far. A federal judge is blocking a postal service regulation that would affect mail-in ballots. The measure would implement a provision of President Trump's executive order regarding mail voting. The order allows the postal service to exert control over mail-in ballots in the lead-up to the midterms. A federal judge also has questions, this is a different federal judge, about the latest push to link President Trump's name with the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. The center's board voted earlier this month to honor Trump with an inscription on the building, despite a ruling that removed his name from the center earlier this year. U.S. District Court Judge Christopher Cooper, he questioned the new push during the hearing yesterday, saying he might have to block the proposal because the board is moving too quickly. And that's what's happening.
All right, Steve, thanks so much for the update. Oh, we've been talking about the Argos, of course, winning their game. That was some game. But they were not the first win in Division I sports for UWF.
And they get the apparent first down.
Well, Brian, while we wait on the call, how about this first D1 win in program history for UWF Athletics? Women's soccer earlier today taking care of McNeese State. So congratulations to the Lady Argos clinching that first ever D1 win.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
In the C-Sun, right?
That's right.
For the A-Sun.
That's right. It's the A-Sun. It's different. It's different for the non-football sports. And I think the score there was 3-1. Yeah, 3-1 over one of the – is that Michigan? No, it wouldn't be. No, it's Central or Eastern. Anyway, over McNeese State. Sorry, the M for McNeese looks a lot like the Michigan M. So congratulations to women's soccer as well.
Fox News, I'm Tom Graham. Rescue crews continue to search through mountainous terrain in the Himalayas after flash flooding devastated communities along the Nepal-China border. More moisture on the way.
As that moisture tries to cross over the mountains, that's when you can get in these absolute downbursts. And you could be talking about really heavy rain. And in tall mountains, those have to all rush down somewhere.
Fox meteorologist Adam Klotz, number of killed and more than 530. Jury deliberations continue this morning in the trial of Lindsay Clancy. The Massachusetts mom has admitted to murdering her 3 children, but the defense argues she's not criminally responsible because she suffered from postpartum mental health problems.
The jury is comprised of 9 women and 3 men with 6 additional alternates. They'll consider a range of outcomes, including not guilty due to a lack of criminal responsibility.
Fox's Nate Foy outside that Plymouth, Massachusetts courthouse. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 75 degrees with a few showers in the area. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. The University of West Florida football team can celebrate a historic win.
The Argos make a statement in their opening night in Division I. An unbelievable surprise for all the faithful following the Argos to D1 at a 34-31 final. The Argos beat the Salukis in their opening Division I game.
That was Brian Prowitz and Jordan Glass doing the play-by-play on our sister station, Sports Radio Pensacola, as the Argos beat 16th-ranked Southern Illinois 34-31 last night in Penn Air Stadium. Despite being a 20-point underdog, UWF got its first win ever as a Division I school. The game was played in front of a record sellout crowd, and the student body president, Eli Schatz, told Channel 3 he'd never seen so much energy and so many people excited to be Argos.
Never seen so much energy, and I've never seen people so excited to be Argos. So this Division I season means everything to me, and it means everything to the people in the stands behind us.
Students and fans came out in full support to watch those Argos play.
Fumble, they're going nuts. We fumble, they're going nuts. Like anything, we're going nuts. It's awesome.
First D1 game, you can tell everybody here is way more excited to be in D1. You can tell the players on the field are more excited to be in D1. Everybody wants it a little bit more now.
The next game for the Argos is September 5th at Central Arkansas, and the kickoff for that game is 6 p.m., and you can hear it live on our sister station, Sports Radio Pensacola. A political feud is brewing over a late-night joke. Northwest Florida Congressman Jimmy Patronis says country singer Jelly Roll is banned from the panhandle as far as he is concerned after the singer joked about President Trump during a guest's hosting interesting stint on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Petronas' Democratic challenger, Gay Valamont, responded by inviting Jelly Roll to visit anyway, saying the panhandle belongs to everybody.
I believe the panhandle belongs to all of us, not just politicians like Jimmy Petronas who think they get to decide who's welcome here. So, Jelly Roll, I'd like to personally invite you to the panhandle. Come and see us. Come meet the people. And come enjoy the hospitality.
Jelly Roll addressed that backlash himself on Tuesday night, saying any president should be able to take a joke and reminding viewers there are bigger issues like gas prices and health care. Personal watercraft riders at Gulf Islands National Seashore will now have more room to speed up. The Park Service has cut the no-wake zone in Florida in half from 300 yards offshore to about 150. Officials say the change follows research showing that faster speeds near the coast will not damage underwater seagrass or the wildlife. The new rules also make permanent an existing closure area around the Fort Pickens Ferry Pier. The Park Service says the goal is expanding recreation without risking the seashore's national resources. Let's check the forecast with Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We will have some wet weather as we go through your day today. 60% chance of the showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Saturday, 40% chance of rain, high near 89. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Heading into your Sunday, high near 90 degrees with a 50% chance of rain. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News' First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from your First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, let's check in with PJ for Traffic on the Fives.
This is brought to you by White Sands Electric. Keeping your Cummins or Generac generators in top shape for the hurricane season. White Sands Electric, your full-service electrical contractor. Taking a look at the big board, still working that vehicle crash. I-10 eastbound, just east of State Road 87 in Milton. Use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash and roadblock Tunnel Road at Quintet Road in Milton. I'm PJ with your traffic on the Fives.
Right now, 77 degrees in Pensacola, 76 in Gulf Breeze, and 77 in Milton at 635. Next news is at 7. Breaking news, of course, happens anytime. I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The number of people filing for unemployment benefits fell last week, remaining at historic lows as layoffs are rare and most Americans enjoy job security. The Labor Department reports that jobless claims slipped to 203,000 last week from a revised 207,000 the week before. The FDA has approved a once-daily HIV pill from Gilead that could help simplify care for some patients whose virus is already under control but who remain on complicated treatment regimens. The new pill is also aimed at people who are doing well on a single tablet regimen and want to switch to a new treatment. Gap has announced a new CEO for its Old Navy banner effective November 2nd as the retailer tries to reinvigorate sluggish sales performance at the brand. Michael Francis, who was appointed the chief customer officer at Old Navy in May, will take over the reins for the current CEO, Hal Barbato, who will become an advisor to the company. Futures are currently mixed ahead of Kevin Warsh's latest address. That's Your Money Now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for buying gas. That's right. You can earn cash back with Upside just for buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside, and just last year, I made nearly $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get cash back? If you like extra cash, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back when you fill your tank. Use promo code PROGRAM25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime, right to your bank or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code PROGRAM25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code PROGRAM25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Did you know? Florida West Economic Development Alliance partners with local and state stakeholders to compete for companies that are considering Escambia County, the city of Pensacola, and the town of Century. These jobs, wages, and investment deliver real returns for our residents. These outcomes strengthen Escambia County's economy and protect taxpayer interests through disciplined, results-driven economic development. Learn more at FloridaWestEDA.com.
Heartburn. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing is worse than heartburn after a long day. When you're finally off the clock, dinner's done, feet kicked up, kids asleep, and boom, heartburn tries to steal the moment. Quick, Alka-Seltzer. Because nothing works faster for heartburn relief. The effervescent tablets start neutralizing acid in seconds, so you can sit back, relax, and unwind from your day. Next time heartburn hits,
quick, Alka-Seltzer.
Use as directed.
Looking for the best in flooring? At Jonathan's Flooring, you can select beautiful luxury vinyl plank flooring with the texture of wood, waterproof, and longer lasting. Jonathan's Flooring offers the most affordable pricing, first-class workmanship and installation, with a large selection of tile, carpet, or the latest in luxury vinyl plank flooring. Performance and sustainability is what makes Jonathan's Flooring the best choice for your floors. Stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Barkley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
You're the co-chair of this political party.
But that excites the minions when they hear that. Oh, tax the millionaires.
Well, it sounds good, and then I get free stuff. Yay!
Yeah, but nothing is free, man.
That's when being somebody's an adult really is a challenge, huh?
MVR, weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
So I want to go back to that, just days after the state committed universities to protect free speech, a federal judge found that FIU may have likely violated students' First Amendment rights about a silent anti-ICE protest. Do you feel that FIU handled that protest appropriately?
I don't have enough information, to be honest with you. I mean, my view has always been you have a right to express your views. You don't like ICE, you have a right to express that. I think ICE gets a bad rap by the left. I think they're demonized in ways that are unfair, but you absolutely have a right to do that. What you don't have a right to do is to disrupt the operations of the university. You don't have a right to shout down speakers that you may disagree with, and you obviously don't have a right to harm other people.
This is another part of that presentation at FIU where he was taking a bunch of different questions. It was the same event at which he, again, repeated the longstanding, I think, lie that, everything that was done with the Hope Florida Foundation Centene money was all appropriate. But that was before the news had broken that the grand jury report has been leaked. This is also the same speech in which he talked about flock cameras and, the license plate readers, kind of this all being out of control and wanting to rein it in and look at legislation that might make that a little bit better. So in that same, Q&A session with the press after the speech at FIU, he was asked, as you heard, about, this case at FIU where students were being, I guess, held accountable or punished or something or other. And he said, look, your free speech, the First Amendment, you're completely entitled to criticize and advocate for anything you want to. You don't get to shout down other people, which is, by the way, a great example of speech being used in an anti-speech way. I remember when DeSantis came to, was it DeSantis? I think it was. Yeah, we were at the Fish House when he was running for governor. And maybe it was Rick Scott. Now I can't remember. It was one of the two. But I think it was DeSantis. Anyway, and he was speaking in the back, on the water. And across the waterway, essentially, over at the park, at Bartram Park, you had a bunch of Democrats that had gotten together to try to chant and shout down the speech that was going on in the back of the Fish House. I mean, that's evil. That, you said, well, I don't know if it rises to that level. Really? Trying to make it so that people can't engage in conversation that they voluntarily want to hear with a speaker that they want to hear? That's not evil? I'm not sure your definition of evil is broad enough. Trying to stop other people from engaging in civil discourse, whether you shout them down or make noise or, interrupt the proceedings like Code Pink, I mean, it's evil. It's certainly anti-American. Even if they're using their speech against speech, it's still using it as a weapon to stop speech, which is fundamentally problematic. This is why we will tend to, you protect protests in certain ways, but if your protest is to prevent the other protest, well, that's not a legitimate form of protest. Anyway, so I'm good for the governor for clarifying this.
I don't know what happened on this situation. I mean, obviously, that goes through the courts. But my view has always been you can say things that are offensive. You can say things that other people don't like. You can say things that are even hurtful.
Yep.
That's kind of what the First Amendment is all about. It's protecting speech that we don't agree with or like.
Now, he's understating for effect, but it's not kind of what the First Amendment is about. It is exactly what the First Amendment is about. You don't have to protect speech that people like, popular speech, nice speech, kind, decent. You know, you have to protect speech people don't like, offensive, obnoxious, hurtful speech. Yes, that's exactly the right thing. Speech you disagree with is what we want to protect. And it's vital to protect other people in saying the things you don't like so that you are protected in saying the things that other people don't like.
Where it becomes an issue on college campuses is when those types of activism infringe on the rights of others through their conduct and behavior. And that could mean disrupting class. It could mean disrupting campus operations. The idea that a speaker would get shouted down, that's not free speech. That's different than that.
That's using your voice as a weapon against free speech, which is a problem. Now, you can advocate even for the suppression of speech. You can use speech to advocate against speech. That's allowed. You just can't use yelling to stop somebody else from speaking, because that's not the use of speech. That's the use of noise that happens to be coming from your mouth. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, and they're now saying injuries at Tunnel Road at Quintet Road in Milton. Use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, mile marker 39, just past State Road 87 in Milton. And then finally have a vehicle crash, I-10 southbound, right near Burgess Road. No roadblock associated with that one. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to Governor DeSantis the other day at FIU. SIU played Argos. I taught at SIUE, the Edwardsville campus. So in my mind, when you start saying the word, the string of letters IU, I'm likely to add an E on the end. It doesn't justify it. It just kind of explains where I come from on this. Anyway, somebody clarified for me. I appreciate that it was DeSantis. You know, I was there, but my memory sometimes, you know, and also I would much rather say I might be wrong about this than overstate a claim. You know what I mean? Like, that's just kind of the news person in me. And, you know, if I was wrong, I was wrong. Fine. He says we need to protect students. You know, we don't need to and should not protect students from ideas they disagree with. That's almost the definition of the goal of college and university, is to expose people to ideas they haven't encountered before. That's why you want diversity of thought, not diversity of demographic. That doesn't really matter. I mean, it matters a little. Okay. It's nice to get people around people who don't look like them. That's useful, but there's no direct correlation between looking different and thinking different. And it's the thinking different part that's really valuable.
We've drawn that line, I think, pretty clearly. We can't be in a situation where a student is going to be protected from views that they disagree with. And that's just the reality that we believe in.
That's why, like, the free speech zones, so-called, is such a silly concept. You know, people should be able to engage in speech anyway. You know, the same people, I think, generally speaking, ideologically anyway, who would say, no, free speech zones are good to make sure that students don't have to encounter difficult ideas in places they don't, you know, they don't expect them on campus, suddenly turn around and defend, like, you know, panhandlers for using their free speech in places you don't like. Like, pick a consistency, man. Anyway, so back to this, he says, you can speak, you can protest, but you cannot shut things down.
The overall principle remains is, you know, you have a right to express yourself. You don't have a right to disrupt the university. You don't have a right to camp out on a lawn and just take over. They tried that in Florida. They were gone in 10 minutes. You don't have a right to take over streets like they tried to do in Miami, and the
right.
Police got them off. I think I was like 15 minutes to get a couple hundred people off the street. That didn't last very long either. So there's just a difference between expressing a viewpoint, expressing an opinion that's speech, versus conduct that is causing, you know, I mean, just think about Miami traffic's bad enough, right? And just think about it. You got to get somewhere. You got to pick up your kid. You got to go to a doctor's appointment. You got to go to work. And you got people that are going to take over a street And what, you just sit in traffic for another hour? No way. That is not acceptable. And they have not allowed that to happen down here. Obviously, we've done some legislation to kind of give them some tools to do that. But that is unacceptable. That is not free speech to take over a public road and to interrupt, you know, the free flow of traffic.
Yeah, I mean, it's kidnapping. It's interference with the freedom of motion of other people, a right that you would take for granted you have, and you're interfering with them. It's no different than standing in front of people and saying you can't go here where it's a free place to go. Yeah, another. It's an example of evil. Protesters in the last, I don't know, a couple of decades have started to engage in this more, you know, laying down on freeways. We had an example here with the George Floyd protest and the guy who got onto the roof of the car or onto the hood of the car, carried across 3 Mile Bridge. He was wrong. He was wrong. People who interfere with traffic, you know, I mean, I've kind of often said that, you know, if you prevent my wife from leaving an area because you're shutting down the road and you stand in front of her car, I mean, that's a threat. And, you know, I will stand by her. And, you know, if I were there, I would help her get out of that situation. If that means using physical force against you, you brought it on yourself by interfering with somebody else's freedom of movement. Finally, he says,
so I think those are the way it is. And again, I don't know the details on this case, but certainly students at this university have a right to protest in favor of immigration enforcement or against immigration enforcement. That's part of what it means to have a First Amendment.
Again, absolutely correct. So I like that he took some time to explain this, to lay it out. You cannot articulate the First Amendment often enough in this country. We have so many people who misunderstand everything from what tolerance is to what inclusion would really mean to what free speech is for and what it's there to protect, that it's almost as if you just couldn't say it enough. If all I did on this show was over and over and over again explain this, you know, ratings might not do that well over time, but it would still be worth the doing of it, if only because so many people don't understand these concepts well. 650 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to do it. You know, you hear Dave Ramsey talking about him. You hear me talking about him. You see the license plates and the bumper stickers, you know, the little vinyl things on people's bumpers. They're kind of small. You know, they're like 3 by 4 inches or something like that. But I challenge people to kind of pay attention to that if you're wondering, because, you know, two guys talking on the radio is one thing. But thousands of people in this area who buy cars from them every year is another thing. And then they promote it with their license plate or the frame or the vinyl sticker. And so when you're driving around, look and see if you don't notice one. And, you know, today, if you're looking around, you might notice one. Maybe two. And then, you know, if you do it again tomorrow, you might notice 3 or 4. And then probably by Monday, you're like, ah, they're everywhere. Is there a car that wasn't sold by Frontier? Well, that's the point. Those are people who had good experiences, were satisfied enough to keep that on their car, and they are kind of testimonials from the rest of the community. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us today at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sunny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sunny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tommy Pump fires it down the middle for Deuce. Caught at the 20, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Florida State begins the college football season Saturday by hosting New Mexico State in Tallahassee on the Seminole Sports Network, presented by Wolfson Children's Hospital.
FSU versus New Mexico State, Saturday, 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
You're busy. You just need to know what's happening.
What's happening?
Pensacola right now.
With Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7. On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Very few of us here are actually mentally ill. I'm not saying you're not mentally ill. For all I know, you're crazy as a loon.
I know it's not the most popular opinion in the sense that people seem kind of stunned that I have it, but Brad Pitt is, in my opinion, one of the best actors of the last 30 years.
Yes, he is.
If only because he's got such range. Mm-hmm. And the range is crazy in the things that he has done, you know, from being the stoner in True Romance to being the crazy conspiracy time traveler in 12 Monkeys. Or was he the time? I guess Bruce Willis was the time traveler. Anyway.
Yeah, Bruce was.
In any case, and you just seen that movie recently?
Yeah.
And it was a series, too. Wasn't 12 Monkeys a series on TV, I believe?
I'm not sure about that. I saw the movie.
Supposed to be very good. I have not watched it, obviously. But yeah, that role in 12 Monkeys is, I mean, phenomenal. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Steve Taylor is in for David Wayne today with our headline. Steve?
Well, President Trump is changing the name of Lake Ontario to Lake America. He signed that executive order, making the move official in the Oval Office yesterday as the U.S. and Canada are wrapping up their trade war. A woman's dead after being caught in the Hawk Fire, which started near Reno. It's the first fatality blamed on the 15,000-acre wildfire that is now almost fully contained. It started on August 22nd and burned on both sides of the California-Nevada state line. Most of the damage is northwest of Reno, though. About four dozen homes burned down in Nevada. And jury deliberations are continuing today in the Lindsay Clancy triple murder trial in Massachusetts. Clancy admits to strangling her three young children in 2023, but pleaded not guilty to three counts of first-degree murder. Prosecutors allege the killings were premeditated, while the defense says Clancy suffered a postpartum psychotic break. And that's what's happening.
By the way, I kind of like Wildflyer.
Yeah. In fact, there was a song by that name. Yeah,
that's funny.
Many years ago.
6:55, PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, I-10 eastbound, just after State Road 87 in Milton. Use caution there. Also have a vehicle crash, I-110 southbound, right near Burgess. No roadblock associated with that one. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Yeah. Lake Ontario. Big sigh.
Lake America.
So this is Lake Ontario in Canada and in the United States, but we're going to make a little change. We're going to call it something different than Lake Ontario. We're going to call it Lake America, and all it takes is a good pen and some intelligence. So Lake Ontario.
Well, you got one.
Lake America.
So dramatic. So slow to write the letters.
So now we have a lake, and now we have a gulf. Because we have the Gulf of America, and now we have Lake America, without the of. Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy Lake America.
Lake America without the of. Thank you for clarifying.
So if you think about it, we have a gulf, and we have a lake. Now all we need is an ocean. So maybe we'll have to change the name of the Atlantic and or the Pacific. Maybe we'll change them both.
I mean, why not change everything to America, especially if it's Canadian? I mean, you could change Canadian to American whiskey. You know, you could have American geese. You know, American club soda. You know, why would we keep anything Canadian? And I mean, you know, we used to, when we were mad at the French, we'd have American fries. You know, PJ, you had a good one earlier. You said that Trump has routinely talked about the, you know, Panama Canal.
Oh, yeah, the American Panama Canal.
The Canal of America.
Canal of America.
I mean, it's literally between the Americas. Mm-hmm. So why not make it the Canal? Why should it be named after some, you know, third world semi-failed? I mean, you know, why not name everything after America? You know, the American Ocean, East American Ocean, the West American Ocean. I don't know. It seems like anything could go this direction. And oh my God, it's just, ugh. Now, there is a part of me that wants to believe that even Trump knows this is stupid. And that's, there's a part of me that wants to believe that. Now, there is a part of me that wants to believe. All of me wants to believe that. There's only a part of me that believes that he actually does know that it's stupid. It's stupid, right? And this is going to be one of these great examples of, you know, the Trump loyalists or Trump cultists, because if there's Trump derangement syndrome, there's Trump cult syndrome too. TCFs and TDS are the sort of offsetting polar opposites. Man, everything he does is genius. Man, everything he does is stupid. Listen, if you find yourself admiring Lake America, I mean, you're in the cult. If you are, embrace it, I guess. I'd prefer that you not be in any cult. But, man, it's just, I just never thought we'd be here as a country. It's so wild. And, of course, you know, what people will say is, well, what's this distracting from? Who knows? There's so much. That the war is going poorly, that the economy is having, you know, some issues, that the Epstein files still haven't been fully I mean, who knows? It's all the show. It's all the craziness. It's, you know, make the French retaliate with something stupid, like, you know, them talking about converting Lake Superior in their nomenclature to Lake Epstein. It's one of the things that they've joked about. Oh, what was the, there was actually one of the Canadian politicians had made a comment about this that I thought was particularly, it was a funny little phraseology. Oh man, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to find it in time. He said, let's see, this is Carney had said this. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney. We know the United States is changing their trade relations, their foreign policy, their national monuments, their hydronyms. Their hydronyms. Their names for bodies of water. Canadian men and women also know that things must be called by their name and that this lake is called Lake Ontario today and forever. Right.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3.